Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Bus and Rail Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, May 13th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is WMATA.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. If you'd like to make comments, you can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six. If you would like to make comments, you can also virtually raise your hands by pressing star nine. Everybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you go, you can click on the raise hand icon that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comment and we can have one speaker at a time in the order received. I do request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. And we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting, so it helps them. If you are able to state your name before you start making your comments, and anybody who is on the phone call, it helps them knowing who the speaker is, as well as anybody who listens to the meeting audio afterwards. They can recognize the speakers when they listen to the audio. We also request anyone who makes comments or speaks to please describe yourself briefly initially when you speak. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I wear reading glasses, and I have long dark hair. We do have a packed meeting, and we do have presenters. I would request for you to please describe your slides if you're using any in detail. And this is for the convenience of our members and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. So in advance, thank you. Anybody who's looking to make comments, we do have that section later on in the meeting. If you're able to send me a chat message, that would be great. Otherwise, when we begin that section, if you are able to virtually raise your hands, that will help because then we know how many speakers we have and we can take everybody in the order that they inform us. Chair Kalabia,
Yes.
if you concur, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then take the AAC roll call.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
Great. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen. And if you would give me a quick moment, and when my screen is shared, if somebody can confirm, I would appreciate that.
I see it.
Thank you. So after I finish reading the agenda, we will go through the AAC roll call. Afterwards, Chair Kalabia will go through the motion of approving or amending as needed the today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. At 4:10, we will have Sarah Meyer. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief Customer Experience and Engagement Officer, to give us wayfinding updates and customer experience. At 5 p.m., we will have a team to discuss the summer shutdown. And that team includes Mark Bowman. He's the Strategic Communications Manager from Community Relations and Outreach. We will have Jamisha Peterson. She's the Planning Manager, Bus Street Operations. And we will have Teresa Thomas. She's the Supervisor, Crew Support, Wayside Work Planning. The committee had briefly discussed at the AAC meeting about whiteboards in metro rail stations. That is our last topic for today's meeting to get an update. And we will have Cherianne Santos to give us an update about that. She is the Chief Customer Operations Supervisor from Rail Infrastructure Support Services and the Office of Rail Transportation. At 5:45, we will take any public comments. And the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will stop sharing my meet screen now.
Anu, excuse me, this is Cheryl, the other sign language interpreter. Could
Yes,
you
please.
please allow my colleague Beth and I co-host privileges so that we can multi-pin?
Yes, if you would
Thank you.
give me.
Thank you.
Sure. All right, so Beth is already able to multi-pin, and I will find you, and so that you can. Okay. You should have that in just a quick moment, okay? Thank you so much. All right, going to the roll call of the committee members, when I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Azhar Aturo. Darnese Bush.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Present.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Just for the record, Debbie informed that she might be a few minutes delayed this afternoon. Marcy Goldstein. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present. I'm waiting for a technician to fix my internet. So if I suddenly bow out for about 5 or 10 minutes, they finally called.
Okay, good luck with
Thanks.
That.
Thank you.
I'm here.
Okay, thank you, Marcy. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newzo.
Present.
Thank you. Bill Posner.
Present with AI companion.
Okay, thank you. Doris Ray.
Present, and I'm really having a hard time hearing you, Anu.
Okay, is anyone else having difficulty hearing me?
If you could increase the output.
I can hear you, Anu.
Yeah, you're just fine.
I can hear you too.
Okay.
I'm old. I'm having trouble.
You're having trouble? All right. So before we go on, let's see if we can make some adjustments here. My output level is actually 100%. Doris, can you hear me better now? Doris, if you can confirm if you can hear me better now.
No, actually, it seems to have gotten worse, but.
Oh, my.
Worse. Okay. Okay, let me work on that in just a moment then. Thank you.
Anu, this is Cheryl, one of the interpreter pair today. Apparently, the co-host or the hosting abilities didn't go through. I need to multi-pin. Could you try that again, please? For myself and for Beth.
Okay, so you and Beth both have ability to multi-pin at this point.
Okay, I'll try again.
Okay, thank you. Okay, continuing with our roster, remaining roster, Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semelford. Patrick Sheehan. For the record, Patrick Sheehan had informed that he may not be able to attend today's meeting. Kelly Simoneau. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes today's roster, Chair Calabia. At this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Yes, our next item is to approve the agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
This is Sandy, a motion to approve.
Second. Do
Rico
I hear?
Seconds. Rico seconds.
Any objections? Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. and the next item is a review of the minutes of our April meeting. And as I summarized it at our last meeting last week. We fixed on the mall exhibit, which showed the open gangways train, the electric vehicle bus, and also we said goodbye to Lynn Bowersock. The second item on the agenda was a rundown of the Better Bus Network redesign, and I mailed out to the members this afternoon the survey, and I hope all of you take that survey of the Better Bus Network redesign, which is going to be passed on by the board, I think, at their next meeting. And the final item was public comments. During the public comments session, we mentioned, or at least Denise Rush mentioned the bathrooms availability, and perhaps we can ask if there are signs showing where they are, as Denise Rush had asked. Those were the brief items that we took care of. Well, the items that I briefly described, which we took care of. Do I hear any objections to approving the minutes? Hearing no objections, the minutes are so approved. Our next item is with Sarah Meyer, and she's going to give us wayfinding updates. Sarah, are you on?
Hi, everybody. I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Anu. Should I share my screen for my presentation?
It's up to you. If you would like, I can do it. If you'd like, you can do it.
I will try. One second.
Sure. Your preference, Sarah. There you go. Okay.
Okay. Do you see a presentation?
Yes.
Okay. One second, and I'm going to... Better?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, everybody. Sarah Meyer. I'm the Chief Customer Officer here at WMATA. I'm speaking from my office at L'Enfant. I am a female wearing a bright green shirt today, and I'm very happy to be taking the time to start discussing the draft screen resolution guidelines with you all. And talk through some of the advancements that we've been able to make since we've spoke to you last. We have been very busy here working on recruiting new staff that are focused on the customer experience. And my colleague, Keith Trailins, is here. I wanted to introduce him. He is the new product director for screens. So he can help me. He has a lot more background in screen technology and the systems that operate screens. And he can help me answer some of the questions that you all have around screens. So I wanted him to hear from you directly and join me on this presentation. Brian Anderson, who you heard from last time, is also with us still. He just couldn't come to this meeting because he had a conflict, but he is still very active in driving the wayfinding project here at Metro. Okay, so I wanted to talk about our... first take at our digital signage manual. As you all know, I'm a big fan of getting things down on paper and codifying sort of our swim lanes, so to speak, so that we have the right tools and consensus among our very important audiences that we're here to serve, and that is our customers. So I have a print version that I'm holding up. And I guess because of my blurred background, you can't really see it, but it is large and bound, which makes it feel very official. It's not quite official yet. It's still in draft form and will always be evolving because we know how quickly this industry is moving in terms of technology and all of the new tools that we now have at our disposal. If you had asked me 10 years ago if we would have been able to have the quality of the graphics that we now have in our stations, I wouldn't have believed you. So I'm now very thankful for technology and all of the ways that it can benefit different audiences. So the digital signage manual contains all of our guidelines and requirements. And wanted to discuss with you all, you know, there's been some questions and a lot of discussion around contrast. So wanted to talk through some of those issues. So these are the contrast guidelines as we have them now, but of course want your feedback. Contrast ratio must be at least 3:1. Smaller lettering must be at least 4.5:1. And typography should be black or white whenever possible to maintain contrast. Background colors should always match our design guidelines, and typeface should always be Helvetica per the guidelines as well. On this slide, I'm showing a grid of colors that are in our style guide, and you might recognize some of these colors as being our train line colors as well. We always want to use white or black graphics on these colored backgrounds. We have to always maintain that contrast ratio. We have to avoid lighter backgrounds and use high contrast values like black or white whenever possible to ensure graphic elements are understood. And as we all know, according to ADA compliance requirements, and also for better customer use of all types of individuals, graphic elements must have at least a 3:1 contrast ratio. Now I'm showing the colors with the black or white typography on top of those colors. On the next slide, I'm showing examples of a sign. It's a fictional sign. It just says, "Welcome to Metro Center." It also says, "Visit WMATA.com or call 202-637-7000. And we're showing examples of best practices for using color with typography while maintaining an acceptable contrast ratio. So you'll see the top three items are allowable under our draft guidelines, and the bottom three are not allowable under our guidelines. The next slide shows examples of black text on various backgrounds, showing the difference between showing the black text on gray backgrounds and black text on white backgrounds. And this slide goes into some of the examples that Sandy provided on her notes on our digital signage that she sent last week. I also put in that email that I sent back to Sandy that she had certainly caught some areas that we could improve. So we are making changes to ensure that there are acceptable contrasts and making changing gray to white and vice versa where we can to ensure that our screen designs are readable, especially when there's glare and direct sunlight on those designs. The next slide then shows white text on backgrounds, where we make sure we still have a contrast ratio of at least 4.5:1 and at least 3:1 for large text. So those are our draft guidelines. We also added in the appendix of this presentation, and I'll have Anu email this to all of you, the current specifications for each one of our screen types. Many of these screens were purchased a long time ago, while some of them are new, but would love thoughts on specifications for screens moving forward. Knowing that we might not be able to pivot immediately, since we have active procurements going on for screens, but we will be able to incorporate recommendations for subsequent procurements where we replace screens in the future. So on this slide, we're showing the 55-inch screen. These are the screens that our advertisements are shown on, as well as the new passenger information screens that are on the platforms.
Sarah, what is the last line says display colors, 16.7 million colors. Could you explain that?
Yeah, but I'm also going to, if I could just go for the next couple slides, and then we'll take questions. We are, you know, I think the standard is if you're watching Netflix or if you're watching TV, you know, you go to Costco or whatever store to buy a TV and people say 4K or 8K or million. These are all numbers, right, related to the pixelation of the screens. Okay. And these are the current specs. I also want to mention, right, we are a public transit and provider. Our first and foremost goal is to provide vehicles that move, right, and to move people. Once you go to 4K screens or a larger pixel per inch, you get to higher costs. So we can talk further about that, but these screens are not what you would watch, you know, a HD movie on. And so that's might be what you're looking at and talking about in this.
Thank you.
Sure. So these are our PIDs. We have a lot of different PIDs because they've all been purchased for 20 years, right? We've got older PIDs and newer PIDs. These are the newer PIDs, the passenger information display signs that are on the platforms that are overhead. Some of them have four lines. Some of them have six lines. And our most recent have two lines. And those were placed on the lower level platforms to provide enough height clearance for those that may be particularly tall to go under. So that's why we moved from the four line PIDs to the two line PIDs, because we were complying and working with, right, the ADA guidelines to ensure that everybody has the height clearance they need to access our vehicles on bus or train appropriately. The next type of screen is we call the KID. This was a acronym developed before my time. I have kids, so I probably wouldn't have called the screen kids, but that's here we are. These are the 46-inch screens that are above the station kiosk. And here are the 42-inch e-paper signs that are at our pilot. And they're at Braddock Road currently. We might have some going into Minnesota Avenue as well. And this is the smaller e-paper signs that you'll see at bus stops around the DMV area. Next are the Clever Vision screens. We've got lots of different types of screens. I hope you all are grateful that we have Keith here on board to help us keep track of all these screens and make sure that they all function. And so these are the Clever Vision screens that are on bus. We all know my feelings about the screen that's installed right in front of a big pole, and we hope we will not do that again. And we will be able to mount the screen so that they are viewable to more audiences overhead. And those are 24 inches, and their display colors are black, white, dark gray, and light gray. Okay, so I am happy to start taking questions and furthering our discussion.
Well, thank you, Sarah. You remarked about receiving the comments by Sandy Neusel, who actually did more than comments. She took pictures. So I would open with her. And then Steve is another one who has questions about signs. Maybe he'd be next. And then anyone else who puts their hand up. Sandy, do you want to summarize what you wrote about? Sandy? Well, not hearing Sandy, since we sent them to you, Sarah, maybe you can comment on what Sandy.
Okay, I'm here now.
Oh,
sorry, I've been having technical difficulties. As soon as Sarah said my name the second time, my Zoom flipped me out. So
it knew.
No. Anyway, so I joined on the phone eventually, and now I'm back on my computer. Anyway, so Sarah, your comments back to me, and I only addressed that one type of screen, the station ahead on the platforms, and the reflective glare. I didn't observe that to be a problem except out in sunlight, and it was tremendous glare. I felt like I was taking a picture of myself in the mirror, as you could see in the photos I saw. So I appreciate your saying that that uppermost bar that's saying, you know, what the next train is, where it's going, is the same contrast ratio, but because it's so on a very white background, that is glare to the eyes. And I appreciate your consideration of a light gray background, or a, you know, that would still maintain the contrast ratio so that that's highlighted as different. It would be great to see that change and see if that works. And then lower down on the screen on the sign, I think it's in red lettering now, stations, further stations, something like that.
Yes.
That doesn't need to be in white like the others. If you want to make it somewhat different, a light yellow or pink or green or something that is different so that people realize, oh, this isn't just one station like all the other lines. There ought to be some other way to highlight that other than red. And I really appreciate your consideration of larger font size for the station names. And if at all possible, the circle with the SV for silver or BL for blue, if that can be a little bit bigger. I've noticed that larger circles representing the lines have been appearing on some of the pylons in stations, and there's plenty of room on the pylon. So a bigger circle with the line lettering in it is good. I do believe it is very, very, very important to maintain the name of the station that's at the end of the line, because once I go down underground, I'm not nearly as smart as a gopher, and I have no idea which direction, north, south, east, or west, I'm going. And because all of the metro lines are sort of squiggly on the maps, and because the red line has two ends that are both to the north, cardinal directions aren't always that helpful. However, if you really want to keep them, maybe they do help tourists if they're at the top of the sign where I can't really see them anyway. It's okay, you know, but the station, the last station of the line at the bottom of the list, I think is very important to maintain. I think I've touched on all of the points that I had.
Okay, very helpful. And thanks again for all of your important engagement on this. And yes, we agree that we went a little too far with our pilot on the directional signage by, excluding some of the terminal names. Those are being put back as we speak. I believe that they will be, I have to check this date, but I believe by the 20th, most, if not all, signs will be adjusted to include the terminal locations in addition to the directional north, south, east, west words as well.
One more comment question. I want to credit Philippa Mazzell because she also has pointed out, and her vision issues are different than mine. So, you know, I know you can't satisfy 100% of all of your riders all of the time, but I believe these signs are helping both me and Philippa. And maybe Philippa could comment if there's any additional things that I've missed that she's also thought about.
Philippa? Philippa, are you there? Philippa, you're muted.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had my hand up. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I had sent Sandy some of the pictures of downstairs at L'Enfant Plaza where it just said north. So I'm glad to see that that's going to be addressed because, like I said, anybody in visiting D.C., and I'm telling you, most of the people in D.C. have no idea what north means. Even on a basic street like 16th Street, they don't know where north versus south is. I also sent a picture of the sign on Metro Center on the top level. It's kind of like it has like a light blue for the lettering on the picture. It looks very clear, but the contrast to the naked eye to me was a little, I could use more contrast. And then it had a highlight at the top, which I didn't know what it was saying until I looked at the picture, but it's actually just telling how many cars the train has and what the destination is. So it's just kind of giving you columns for the actual car that's coming ahead. But the contrast on that needs to be a little different. Even one of the pictures that Sandy had sent out, the highlight on the next train, I think, oh no, one of the pictures you had, but the highlight for L'Enfant Plaza, where it was on there and it was kind of, when you're there, it kind of blurs L'Enfant Plaza out or whatever the next stop is. It's good that something goes to highlight what the next train is, but it's got to be a little more contrast between the highlight and the actual typeface.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anu, could we make sure we get Philippa's pictures?
So yeah.
Which display she's referencing?
I actually just emailed it to you.
So. Oh, and I just had one more comment. The signs for Metro Center on the top platform, at least, seems like they're now like about 8 feet tall, which is making it harder for low vision to see. I think before, I'm just guessing at the height. Yeah, it looks like it's 8 feet versus it maybe used to be 6.5 feet. I don't know, but it's a lot higher than it used to be, which also, puts more of a strain on a low vision person.
Okay.
Thank you. I know you can't go around cutting poles, but just for the future when you install them.
And this is Sandy again. How do you measure the contrast ratio of the letters to the background?
Keith, do you have this answer?
It's funny. Hi, everyone. This is Keith Trailins from WMATA. Pleasure to meet you all. I'm going to have to get the exact definition, but I know that it's luminosity. It's the difference in luminosity. 21 is the highest ratio, that's black on white or white on black. And then it just, all colors sort of go in between there and zero. There and one. 1 to 1 would be black on black or white on white. So I can find out the exact mathematical equation for you. I do not know it offhand, but I will dig that up.
So when you say luminosity, is that different for a backlit sign compared to a piece of paper that's got reflected light off of the front of it?
No.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, the answer is no. Like it, black on white, paper or on a screen wall, this it'll be the same contrast level.
Okay, so luminosity, how bright it is. I'm sorry, excuse me. That was Philippa.
I might have used the wrong term there in the word luminosity, because we tend to think of that like electricity, right? But it's the difference in brightness between the two colors.
Okay, right. I think I'm speaking for Philippa and myself. This is Sandy. If you have a white background, so like 90% of an area that you're looking at is white, and you have black letters on it, the concept in your eyes, even though the black may be 21 ratio different from the white still, that overwhelming brightness of that white background is a factor in how easy it is to see. So that amount of extra light coming into your eyes is glare, which may make it difficult to see, even though the contrast ratio between black and white is still 21.
Understood. Yep. Understood. And we, right, Sandy, there's other folks that are also involved in this from our side, right? Designers that might have a better definition of how they work through this. So we'll come back to you with a statement around how we're doing what we're doing. And again, right, we're not the experts here. We are looking to this community to help us through this as these standards are evolving, to make sure that we're doing everything we can.
Much appreciated.
I see three hands up. Anu, which order were they in?
Yes, so that's Denise Rush, and then Doris Ray, and then Steve Kaplan. Ms. Rush, please go ahead.
Denise, you're muted. While she unmutes, Doris, are you unmuted, Doris? Doris? Denise? Okay, Steve.
I'm finally unmuted. This is Ms. Rush. I am totally blind, but I travel with people who have low vision or problems with their eyes. And they have said that the font has suggested to mention that the fonts need to be larger, even if they are meeting ADA requirements. Doesn't mean, you know, ADA hasn't been changed in a long time, so maybe ADA needs to be updated, but the fonts, the sizes need to be bigger for everybody to see. Philippa and Sandy have low vision, and they see it different. It's a glare, and we want it for all customers, and they are seeing a problem with the font. And I want to know, are we going to, it was mentioned that we go down to La Font Plaza or other stations and take a look with Sarah or someone and discuss what we see while we're down there. Are we going to have that trip? Hello?
Thanks, Ms. Rush. I would love to do that trip. I think that I was just waiting until our signs were replaced to add back the terminal locations. And then we will take a trip, maybe after a board meeting might be best, since some of you come for those, or, you know, I'll defer to Anu to schedule the best time. But as you all know, I'm here 5 days a week and would love to meet you all and talk through some of the challenges that we have. I've been going around and trying to increase the fonts on every material we have here. I'm going to continue on that fight. I also just, you know, would welcome your advocacy, because we also have our jurisdictional partners who insist that all information be put on every single sign, you know, including when you're in L'Enfant, for all of the stations as far away as Ashburn. listed out. So it's we've got this push and pull of trying to make sure we are giving all of our customers the information they need, and so that it's readable for everyone. And I welcome more compromise and more collaboration with the interested audiences.
Okay, and also the signs, are they prepared and everything is ready for the closure of the red line?
So my colleague Mark is on and will be talking about the closure signs. And I know that Mark has gotten my feedback around font size, and he's continuing to work through making sure that the information is rendered in a way that's easily seen, and making sure that the signage system is cohesive. We recognize the colors, we recognize the numbers, we recognize the letters, so that even if you can't see colors, there might be a letter that you can see. There's a number of different things we're working through.
All right, thank you.
Besides being deaf, Doris Ray is very low vision. Doris, you had a comment or a question? You're muted. Doris, you're still muted. Well, Doris, while you unmute yourself, we'll go to Steve.
I thought I was unmuted, but I wasn't.
Okay, go.
We can hear you now. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So first, I want to say that I agree with Ms. Rush that the actual images of the letters and numbers and characters on the signs, you need to pay attention to that. And the dynamic isn't just, you know, the height, it's also the thickness of the letters. And there is an analogy in terms of the requirements by the Library of Congress for readable print, and there is an analogy in my observation. I use the primarily Metro Bus and Metro Rail. I think that the most important thing for me as a customer is that I'm able to see the PIDs that are providing information about when the next train is coming through, and I'm not worried about some of the things that the sighted riding public might feel they need, like the number of trains and cars in a train and such. But the most important thing, I think, for a lot of us who have vision impairments is black background with white or with the yellow amber lights. They are, in my opinion, the easiest to see. The displays now that are over the kiosk, which are with a white background, are for somebody with a significant vision impairment. I can't read any of that stuff. And like, for example, at Crystal City, and most of the kiosks have big signs over them, and they just cause a lot of glare and light, cluttered, lighted environment. And the other thing that I think needs to be taken into account is how far away one has to stand from the sign to see it. That's another dynamic. And another dynamic is how quickly that sign is going to, how long the sign is going to be up, and how quickly it's going to change, because for a lot of people with vision impairment, focus is an issue. And if that sign goes by too fast, it and changes over, you don't have time to focus and see it and read it. And the biggest example of that is the train and bus electronic signs that, like at Pentagon or at Roslyn, where the timing of the sign flashing to you, even though it's black background with amber lights, when it goes by really fast, you don't have time to see it. So those are some of the dynamics that are of concern to me. I think there are others, but I will also say that when we changed over and changed the lighting environment in all the stations to make a brighter light, and now the new use of LED fluorescent colored lights, there's so much glare in the environment that it makes it even harder to read the signs in terms of, you know, contrast so that you can see it. And so I want to second Ms. Rush's recommendation that we have opportunities, and I'm putting that in plural so that people can be able to schedule it and be able to come to it, given, you know, maybe work and other issues in people's lives. So I think there needs to be several opportunities to be able to go have staff go with us and see the dynamics that we're talking about. And the last thing is, I really think you should start with the interior stations and then the lighting environment in both day and evening in the newer stations that are outdoor and are using more natural sunlight and such, because there is a problem reading some of the signs in some of the stations, like up on the Silver Line. And the last thing is that originally we had asked the authority, the OC had asked the authority for an audible addition, a push button, so that at least for the PIDs that are giving information about, you know, trains coming through and where they're going, be audible. And if we're going about making a lot of changes here, I think it's well overdue time that we have an audible option for the PIDs that would be for all stations. Thanks.
Excellent point. Sarah or Keith? Sarah?
Sure. There's a lot there. Thank you, Doris. And I think, you know, it might be helpful if Anu can help me just make sure I'm not forgetting any to address any of these points. But, you know, I understand that there have been different methodologies over the past 10 years regarding screen installation and screen procurement. There are some platforms that have 18, 19 screens on them, and some platforms with just the pits, right? There are some platforms with, or some station entrances with 4 screens that are placed right in the sunlight, and there are some stations without. So this is why I think it's really important that we firm up these signage guidelines and this manual to make sure that it specifies how, when, and why to install signs, and so that they're placed under canopies, they are, you know, away from glare, and do as much as we can with regards to contrast. With regards to your last statement around adding audible functions and features, certainly that's something we will continue to look into. I do know that we still we have several resources with regards to providing audible information, some of which has not been updated in 25 years. I'll take, for example, what's called the, I believe it's called the media hotline, even though media don't really use this thing anymore, but it is the audit, right? You can call a phone number and somebody who is sitting in the MICC is typing in our service alerts. So everything that is shown on the lower level of the PIDs is instead accessible if you call a phone number, and they will, there's a voicemail that you can listen to. I think there are better ways to use technology so that we're not dependent on, someone from my team literally, voice recording themselves when there are other technologies that might be able to do this more easily. But perhaps that's not the even a technology that we want anymore. And instead, we would prefer that the screen, you hit a button, that the screen then reads the information to you. But I also want to remark that I have been getting feedback from other members of this community that the audible buttons are too hard for people to find. And I would love to hear more feedback on that. Because if the buttons are hard to find, then I don't think they're useful. So the question is, should we focus on a centralized call center, a centralized sort of service change number that somebody could call and get information? Or do we try to retrofit these screens with audible technology? I haven't seen yet a very cost-effective way of doing it. I'm not saying that that shouldn't prevent us from doing it, but it does bring about other considerations that we should think about. Or should we focus on the call center model, right? There's just tr different paths that we could take. And so I want to make sure that we have further discussion around this before we make a final recommendation.
Okay, but I'm making that comment as a deaf-blind writer. I am not just, I'm a deaf-blind writer, so, and I do know some dynamics of sound systems since I was trained at Maryland in audiology. But I'm really concerned. Also, I want to mention the perfect example of how the background light can affect your ability to read a PID is courthouse. So I just wanted to mention that to you because I can't read those PIDs anymore. And unless they're underneath the overhang.
Okay, Keith, do you want to add anything? If not, we'll go to the next Keith, anything that
Okay.
Steve?
Yes, thank you very much. Hi, Sarah. Hi. I have a few things, so maybe if I just give them to you and maybe easier than a long pro than a long process. The new screens that are on some of the buses, and you've probably seen them too, because they're diagonal. And because the letters are pretty small, and they're actually blocked when people are boarding, and when they're standing room, you can't even see them.
Yes,
But
they're horrifying. I agree.
and you know
Yes.
uh you know it's very funny because Tino and Sandy and I and Anu were asked to take a look at these. And so we went down to, the area to do, and we took a look, and we had these comments. Not that we're experts in this by any means, but we questioned the facing of the window, and we figured
Yes.
out where it was and what have you. And of course, I understand why it's there and what have you. And of course, New York doesn't have issue that we have regarding putting it in the middle. But you know, it's interesting. I was on the New York buses last couple of weeks ago, and even the riders on the buses where they, you know, those are in the center, actually, I'm noticing they're actually walking up to the screen because the letters, you know, there's too much picture, and you know, when too many stops, people really don't need three stops. They just, you know what I mean, the retention. And but it's interesting, New York in the center is still the passengers are actually walking up to the signs to look. So I know you know all about this, and I know you're looking at this, but it's a challenge.
Yes, certainly is. And Steve, we are waiting with bated breath to have our recommendations for larger typography be implemented.
Could I ask a question? We've got those beautiful new Next Train signs, the ones, the digital ones that are black with a yellow lettering in the trains that are so easy to read. Is there a reason why something like that can't be transposed, perhaps smaller, but transposed onto the buses? They are so easy to read. And that yellow lettering is against the black is ideal.
I agree with you completely, and I could spend another hour talking about the issues that we have with bus manufacturing in the United States, where we are left now with one bus manufacturer that is left in business to supply buses to the country, which is in great need of buses. So if you follow, and maybe Anu, I can send over some pieces on this that APTA has put out. We're in a point of crisis around bus manufacturing, and the issues regarding competition with screen technology in buses and dispatching services in buses. There are so few vendors, and they don't move as fast with regards to optimizing their products for the industry as other, right? You've got an iPhone that changes every month, and the cords that change every other month. And Apple's really figured it out. Granted, Apple doesn't have the Buy America stipulations that our funding models have, which I believe in greatly as a taxpayer myself. It's just that the issue is that we've got a vendor that controls the screen and controls the content that goes on the screen. And we're kind of at their mercy at this point, and are waiting and doing as much as we can to ask them to move more quickly to implement these changes and make sure that the fonts get bigger.
Without taking much more time, we don't have a time to interact, but let me just give you a couple of things on screens, perhaps, so we can talk or email back and forth. But the on the buses about 3 or 4 months ago, you know, the federal law requires that these seats be available to persons with disabilities and seniors. It's always been, you know, in the right place where you board, but they began to be placed in the front section, on the first seats facing front. And I don't know the reason why, because I don't think anything, I actually tried to do some research on this, but here's the problem. But some bus systems have this, and I think most still don't. But I think there is some kind of requirement that those first seats be available, the ones facing front. The problem is, ours is the only bus system where we placed the signs up against the viewing area of the people who sit there. And unfortunately, the people who sit there are the only people who continue to look out of the window.
Yeah.
And those are our constituents. So our constituents, if they want to sit in the front area, not the area reserved for the, you know, for wheelchair passengers and what have you, they actually don't have a view anymore. And New York has these. They say it better. The sign says, "Won't you please give this seat to a person? It's the law." And they do it in such a way that, you know, we do it in a different way, but it's the blocking of the view, which I've noticed seniors who used to sit there are no longer sitting there. They're sitting in the seat behind for that reason. So if they could be moved upward or, you know, just passing this on.
Yeah, no. Great, great point. One that's on our radar, and we're getting there.
If anything, they should just stop putting them on for a while until a decision is made, because it will. I'm running out of time. Could I email you a couple of things?
Of course, always.
All right. Thanks, Sarah. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
Sarah is a recovering New Yorker, so she knows about these things. we have. I thought we had one other person.
Chair Calabia, yes. I knew Vanessa had her hand up. She did pull it down. Vanessa, oh. Do you still have any comments?
No. We're going to the next.
Audio now unmuted.
This is Vanessa. I did lower my hand.
The summer shutdown, and I hope that the folks who work on the summer shutdown have signage as Sarah had provided at Friendship Heights when they did the repaving project in the bus loop there. Will you be involved in that, Sarah, and the signage needed for the summer shutdown? Anyway, you can give lessons to those who are. Thank you very much, Sarah and Keith. We look forward to a time when we can meet with you in a station, even if it's just L'Enfant Plaza, and thank you again. Let's
thank
see.
You, Sarah and Keith.
Yes.
Okay, so Chair Calabia, next is our summer shutdown, and the team is already connected.
Good afternoon, everyone. Anu, would you mind sharing
on demand
presentation?
Sure, I can do that. Give me one quick second.
Okay, while you're doing that, I will introduce myself first because I think I saw myself first. My name is Mark Bowman. I'm with Metro's communications team. I have brown hair and a brown beard that is starting to turn a little bit gray, whether I like it or not. I have blue eyes and I'm wearing a blue dress shirt. And I'm joined today by two colleagues, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Thank you, Mark. My name is Jamisha Peterson. I'm the planning manager for Shuttle Signs and Shelters. I have brown skin, brown eyes, brown hair, and I am excited to share the bus plans with you all.
Thank you. Do you want to begin discussing the signs, Mark?
We have a little presentation that we've prepared, and then we can go into the signs, if that's okay with you.
Sure. Start with your project overview.
Okay. Anu, if you can go to the next slide. So what we're going to cover this evening, a project overview, and then Jamisha will provide an overview of the free shuttle service. And then I will give an update on the communications and outreach plan, and then we'll have time for your questions. So I'm going to turn it over to our project manager, Teresa, to introduce yourself and talk about the work that we're going to be doing this summer.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was having some audio issues earlier. All right. My name is Teresa Thomas, the project lead for Wayside Work Planning. I have brown skin, brown hair, and brown eyes, female, and I am wearing a white shirt. Just to touch on our upcoming summer shutdown, which will take place from June 1st through August 31st of this year, Our main goal is going to be the Purple Line construction, which consists of mezzanine construction and the tie-in work at Silver Spring Station. We also have safety and infrastructure upgrades, such as fiber cable installation for communication improvement. We have rail infrastructure upgrades, which some of you will feel as you all are riding our new upgrade, as we have upgrades and replacements happening in those areas. Drainage pump system and standpipe upgrades, power and electrical upgrades, tunnel and platform lighting will be upgraded as well at these closed stations. And we will also take care of the tunnel leak mitigation. For our customer experience improvements, we have new digital screens, PIDs, and wall information screens that are going to be installed or replaced. An overhaul of the escalators at not only Fort Totten, but also Wheaton Station. A fare gate replacement at Forest Glen and Glenmont. And updates to our station's doors, the signage, paint, and sidewalk repair. Our impacted stations for June 1st through August 31st is going to be Silver Spring, Forest Glen, Wheaton, and Glenmont will all be closed. From June 1st through the 29th, though, Fort Totten will be the last station that you will be able to travel to. But once June 30th comes, Tacoma will return back in service for you all to be able to utilize.
For free shuttle buses, we will be operating four routes between June 1st and August 31st. We'll have a local route that will operate between Glenmont, Wheaton, Forest Glen, Silver Spring, Tacoma Park, and Fort Totten. We'll have the Limited One shuttle that will operate between Glenmont, Wheaton, and Fort Totten. Limited Two between Forest Glen, Silver Spring, and Fort Totten, and the Express between Silver Spring and Metro Center. I just want to make note that when Tacoma Park Station opens, the shuttle buses will stay the same. So our service routes will not change. We'll continue to operate the same service pattern for the shuttles. Shuttle details here, we will be operating on a 4-minute peak for the local and limited routes on the weekdays, 8-minute off peak. And for the express, we'll operate every 8 minutes, and the express is only going to operate during the weekdays only. We are providing accessibility. I'm sorry, if you can go back. We are providing accessibility vehicles, the wheelchair accessible vehicles to supplement motor coach buses that will be in operation during this time. The accessible vehicles will be at each of the stations and customers can request the accessible shuttles through the staff that will be located at each of the stations and the stops. To provide frequent service for this particular shutdown, we are doing a new thing. we did something similar during the winter outage, but for Montgomery County, we are establishing bus lanes, dedicated bus lanes on Georgia Avenue from Glenmont all the way down to Silver Spring. As you can see the map here, we are going to be operating along the corridors, and the dedicated routes will, the dedicated bus lanes will benefit all of our services that we have for the local, the limited one, and the limited two. So each of the services that we have will benefit from the bus lanes that we are implementing in Montgomery County for the express route. That we do have existing dedicated bus lanes on 16th Street. And so we will be utilizing the emergency no parking signs to extend that time frame from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily So we'll be able to have no cars interrupt and park in the bus lanes during that time, so that the shuttle, the express shuttles, can service between Silver Spring and Metro Center without any service interruptions. In addition to that, we also have dedicated lanes on I Street that are existing as well, that will be utilizing the no parking signs there.
Okay, so during the station closure, there is some parking and bus information we want people to be aware of. There will be free parking at Glenmont, Wheaton, Forest Glen, Silver Spring, and Fort Totten for the duration of the shutdown from June 1st through August 31st. The Mark Brunswick line is also a great option for customers who want another way to get downtown from Maryland. During the shutdown, the Mark train is running a promotional fare of $3 one way or $1.50 each way for seniors, students, and those with disabilities. There are also numerous Metro bus and ride-on options available. And we have all of these listed on our project webpage. Jamisha, is there anything that you want to say about any Metro bus or ride-on options?
We are going to be, I'm sorry, was there a question?
I just wondered if there's anything you wanted to add on about those options, but that's okay if you don't. So we've announced our travel alternatives several months ago, and customers can actually find the detailed shuttle information on our website, which is WMATA.com/major construction. As we get closer to the station closures, we ramp up our communications tactics, because past research has shown that customers don't start planning until 2 to 3 weeks before the shutdown. Here are some of the communication tactics that we're doing between now and June 1st. First, we're going to be starting our in-person notification at Red Line stations starting this Saturday, June 18th. We're also going to be running digital ads and promoted social media posts throughout this month. We have a couple of press releases coming out with a reminder the week of May 20th, and then a reminder after Memorial Day around May 29th. And finally, we're also conducting a survey of our customers who use the impacted stations. We took a preliminary survey a couple months ago to gauge initial awareness and understanding levels, and we're going to take a second survey a day before the closures to see if we've moved the needle with our communications efforts. Okay, here are some additional communications tactics that we're using to help customers plan ahead and help customers with disabilities navigate the shutdown. We're updating the trip planner and Google Maps to include information about the closure and the shuttles. All of our staff this time, operations staff, will receive customer service training that includes instruction on how to interact with customers with disabilities. We'll have audio announcements at the stations and onboard trains. We'll also be placing temporary braille and raised lettering signage at Silver Spring, due to that location's proximity to Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. And we've also been in close coordination with Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind so they can help spread the message to their community. And finally, this slide contains a link where you can sign up if you're interested to receive our monthly project newsletter. It also contains our online communications toolkit. This includes ready-to-go social media posts, newsletters, and images. And we've already been seeing our jurisdictional partners using this toolkit on their social media. And I've seen several of them share our message to help get the word out. So this comes to the end of our presentation. And with that, we'll be happy to take any questions. I know there's a question about signage, and we are working very closely with David Wall with the accessibility department to ensure that our signage uses large bold fonts, it uses the appropriate contrast. We're making sure that everything uses iconography and is very clear, and we're making the fonts as big as possible. The sign package is very comprehensive for the summer shutdown. It's station specific with directional arrows that lead people not only to free shuttles, but to the specific shuttle that they're looking for, or to Metro Access. And our sign package is over 500 signs in the whole package. So it's very comprehensive. And we keep accessibility and contrast and font size at the forefront of our signage.
Thank you for those last comments on how you're going to prepare and work with people with disabilities, Mark. Are hands up, Anu? Your screen is still blank, Anu, and I can't see.
Yes, I will stop sharing my screen now. And we do have one hand up by Denise Rush. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
This is Denise Rush. I just have one concern. I'm a customer who supposedly just got into town, and I've gotten off the metro, and I have to get on the buses. On the signs, is there a number, or could you put a number for people who don't know anything about what's going on? They just got off, and now they got to go to a bus. Is there a number? Can we have a number for their questions right now? You know, their concerns right now when they just got off. They just got in town. They don't know that there's going to be a shutdown or there are going to be shuttles or anything, and they just have a question. Could there be a number that they could call to get unconfused?
Mark, Jamisha?
Yes, thank you for that comment. We've thought about that too with our signs. And so every one of those 500 signs actually has the number for our customer relations number along the bottom of it. So someone
thank
can
you.
Call that for more information. We also have a very comprehensive staffing plan, which includes, again, operations staff, but also bilingual customer experience staff at all of the stations. And we're thinking, I think, similar to you, especially at the end of line stations like Fort Totten, where you just kind of get to the end, you think you're going to keep going, but you see the metro stops and it kind of drops you off on that platform. And now what do? And we're going to have a lot of staff on that platform and in the mezzanines and in the bus loop to help guide people to where they need to go so they can find their shuttles.
Jackets or something that, how would a person just got in town, how will they know where to go, who to ask? They're going to have on jackets to say Metro or WMATA or something?
Yes, everybody will be wearing Metro gear. The bilingual individuals will be wearing the yellow aprons that some people may have seen before. And everyone else will be wearing like Metro operations gear with Metro logos. And like I mentioned, we're training all of our staff, which is a new thing. Previously, we would just train the customer experience staff on kind of interacting with customers and interacting with customers with disabilities. This time, we're training all of our rail, bus operations staff, all of the contractors that work for them, in addition to our customer experience teams. So everybody's going to be on the lookout for customers, and everybody's going to have some level of training of working with customers with disabilities.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, and I just want to clarify that what Mark just said. We've had trainings separately. So the operations staff will have their own training, and we will discuss customer service and helping people with accessibility. And so we did have training. But it was separate. So this time we're doing a comprehensive training session, which I think is it's moving in the right direction where everyone's coming together so that we can all be on the same page and make sure that everyone gets the same training.
Anu, I see three hands up.
So we have Sandy Newsall up next. Sandy, go ahead.
So I think you went over it very quickly. Will there be audible broadcast information? And secondly, will there be a person who can speak in sign language on each of these platforms to help people who are deaf.
Yes, we will have audible information at the station via the announcements. We'll also have it on board the trains, and we'll also be taking advantage of the e-paper signage or the buttons at some of the stations where you push the button and it reads what's on the e-paper signage. As far as the sign language, we will not be having ASL staff at each station, but we do train the individuals to take a notepad and write things down to interact with customers.
Mark, our next speakers deal with whiteboards that should be at each kiosk. So hopefully you'll be able to remind the kiosk managers about their whiteboards and to make them available to people who have questions that are with some sort of disability. I think that the next question was Anu. The next question.
Chair Karabia, we do not have any AAC members with their hands up. Did you want to take any members?
Heidi was a former member and she had her hand up. Heidi?
Right. That's what I was asking, if you want to take any members of the public. Heidi, go ahead.
Thank you so much. The idea that you're actually training all these people makes me so happy. Congratulations to this committee, who I continue to see has been making so much progress and done so much improvement for writers like myself. However, my experience is that the people that are going to be standing at the stations, because to be honest, you know, I'm always unhappy when you're segregating wheelchair passengers like myself into other than the same transportation option for the shuttles. And no matter how much you say, it isn't been my experience. The wait time is longer. I've even had those people when I say, is that accessible? They can't even, the people that you're paying to stand there don't even know, can I use that bus or what to do? So I think that part is really, really important, how to interact, but even to understand basic accessibility. That's not going to take a wheelchair. We have to call, I don't know, whatever your system is going to be. So I'd like to hear any comments about that, and just know that wheelchair users, when shuttles are used, we're really paying attention to equity and wait times. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi. I definitely appreciate your feedback. And definitely want to continue to make those improvements with our shuttle service. One of the ways that we are improving is just making sure that we have enough wheelchair accessible vehicles available at every station, so that even if, you know, there was another customer, for example, that, you know, needed the service, there will still be another vehicle available, so it's not, we're not, you know, having the customers wait too long for that wheelchair accessible vehicle. So that's one of the things that we are doing to improve service, making sure that we have enough there. And I also customers that are being trained, or I'm sorry, the staff that are being trained at the stops, will be trained in the comprehensive training sessions that we are doing. So yes, that we will be ready, and hopefully, you know, your feedback. I would love to hear it with your experience. If you get an opportunity to get out there, I would definitely love to hear your feedback.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Jamisha. Any other members have questions?
Chair Calabria, this is Anu. We do not have any additional hands up at this point.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jamisha.
Vanessa just raised her hand.
Oh.
Vanessa, go ahead.
You're muted.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
I'm sorry. I was trying to get myself unmuted. Thank you. So Vanessa, I'm an African-American, middle-aged, and my hair is layered back, and I have on a black top. I was just curious, with the new shuttle services taking you to the same stops that the subway, what is the time frame going to be? Because now that goes at the flash of light, but then you got to calculate time from the subway to the next station. So how is that being factored in?
So the trip time is longer, unfortunately, you know, on the bus. And so depending on which service, if you're coming from Glenmont, and let's say you're taking the local service to Fort Totten, you know, we would definitely recommend that you take the limited. But if let's just say you're taking the local service, then that will be it will take about 58 to 59 minutes to travel on that local without the bus lanes, right? We did the test trips you know, with regular traffic, and so with the bus lanes, we're definitely expecting that time to be shaved, and so it'll be quicker. But without the bus lanes, it'll take 58 to 59 minutes on the local. And so with the limited, that time is shaved off. And I don't have the exact times. I would have to take a look at that. But yeah.
So people just have to know that they got to factor in that, because, you know, I don't know how many stops are in between the beginning to the end. But
so for the limited, you have one stop in between open rail station. So if you're coming from Glenmont, you can take the limited one, and you're trying to get to Fort Totten, you can take the limited one, and it'll make a stop at Wheaton, and then it'll head to Fort Totten. So that's just the additional stop in between the two. And so is the lower limited. If you're coming from Forest Glen, for example, it'll make a stop at Silver Spring before heading towards Fort Totten. So the limited services are faster.
Yeah. You mentioned an express route?
Yes, the express goes between Silver Spring and Metro Center.
Oh, and how long does that take?
Yeah.
The express between Silver Spring and Metro Center takes 45 minutes.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions?
We have Philippa, and she's probably going to be the last person to ask questions. So, Philippa, go ahead.
Hi, just a quick question. I think I'm confused. Which part of the red line is going to be shut down?
Glenmont to Fort Totten.
Glenmont to Fort Totten. Okay, I thought it was Fort Totten to Greenbelt. Okay, that makes sense now. Thank you. See, that was fast.
Okay.
Any other questions?
We have no other hands up.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mark and Jamisha. You know, we have members who are Maryland residents, and maybe others might be silent customers testing the reactions of the staff that you've assigned to these things and trying to find out how easy it is to get a bus or a van for a wheelchair. So let your staff know that there'll be people watching hopefully they'll be able to make sure that they're on the ball. Thank you very much, Mark and Jamisha. And our next team is going to discuss the whiteboards. And the whiteboards, by the way, Mark and Jamisha, are something that could be helpful too for station managers to be able to field questions from people who are deaf. Our next speakers are Paul Bumbry and Cherianne Santos.
So, Chair Calabria, this is Anu. Cherianne Santos is going to be presenting the next topic.
Okay. Cherianne?
Cherianne, I believe you're connected through phone, so if you would press star six, that will unmute you. I'm making sure that she's not having any trouble. Cherianne, if you would press star six, you can unmute yourself.
Well,
okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, Cherianne. We can hear you.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cherianne Santos, and I work with Paul Bumbry in the Office of Rail Transportation. I have brown complexion, brown hair. Regarding the whiteboards, we did actually place whiteboards in all of the kiosks last year. They are sort of, I guess that's about 12 by 8 sized whiteboards, along with dry erase markers. So all of the station kiosks have been given whiteboards in the past. Recently, we got a call that someone stopped by a particular kiosk and the station manager didn't have the whiteboard to utilize. So it sort of prompted us to do a sort of an inventory. It's been almost a year. So upon that, we found out that most of the stations still have their whiteboards with their dry erase markers. But there are a few that do not have them. Now, whether it's they don't know where they are or they lost them, so we have committed to replacing those whiteboards, and we actually plan on doing that. We actually have them in stock already, so we will be doing that as soon as possible. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. This is... The chair. Cherianne, we hopefully will have such whiteboards available in the stations, which will have the shutdowns, because there is bound to be some confusion. And hopefully the station managers are able to cope with questions, and especially if someone who is Dev has to write out the question and he has to answer by, he or she has to answer by using the whiteboard himself. Hopefully they're there.
Absolutely.
Anu, are there any members of the committee who, I see Vanessa.
Vanessa just raised her hand. Vanessa, go ahead.
Vanessa, you're muted.
Hello? Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead, Vanessa. You muted yourself again. Okay. Hello. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to know if she can explain for those that are not aware what a whiteboard is and how it's being used. Please.
The whiteboards. Hello? Yes. The whiteboards are for the station managers to utilize as a form of communication, as a communication tool, to help anyone who is unable to speak, unable to communicate with the station manager, unable to say, you know, what their needs are or where they would like to go or how they can be helped. And the goal is to utilize the whiteboard in that way.
So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes,
yes.
Vanessa, go ahead.
Yes. Okay, so this is for someone with a different type of disability. Is that what it's used for?
I didn't understand what you just said. I'm sorry.
So this is for someone that used maybe their iPhone in a different way, or maybe their what's the iPad? Are you saying that this is for people who would utilize that type of platform?
Yes.
Whiteboard.
Sherry, yes. If I may just provide a little bit of clarification for Vanessa. So Vanessa, instead of having a notepad and a pen,
right.
These are boards. And if you recall, a few months ago, we had Paul Bumbry showing us through his screen the small boards, which are portable, to be placed within the station kiosks that station managers can use. So it's instead of using a notepad, they would have the erasable whiteboards to be able to communicate with any customers, any members of the public traveling through the stations who are either deaf or hard of hearing or unable to speak.
Right. So okay.
If they have any questions, they can communicate through using writing on those whiteboards back and forth between the station manager and the customer and communicating and getting answers to their questions.
And you said they're located outside of the station manager's station?
No. So they are placed inside the station kiosks. And the customers can request the whiteboards.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Are there any other... let's see. Oh, that was Vanessa. Vanessa's already been taken care of. Any other... members or guests that have questions?
So this is Anu Chair Kalabia. At this point, we have no other hands up.
Oh, I think Rico does.
Thank you.
Rico, does...
Full speech.
So my question is, when would they be placed?
When
would they be placed?
Speech on demand.
When? Let me give you some history. Even before I became a member in 2017, this had come up. Supposedly, each kiosk and the station manager would have them available for particularly for people who might be deaf to write their questions and for the kiosk manager to answer their questions by writing on the whiteboard. One thing that I'll really remember is that several months after I did become a member, I escorted a board member to see some of the stations, and even though I was new and did not know all the ins and outs of what problems there might be in stations, I knew enough to take the board member at one of the stations and ask a kiosk manager about the whiteboard. Did he have his whiteboard? And he kind of fished around and he said, no, what are you talking about? Well, then I described what a whiteboard is and what the purpose is. Oh, he said, I got this thing here. And he showed me a whiteboard. And he said that they were told to use them because the new president, President Trump, was going to be coming to town. And there would be lots of visitors in town. And maybe some people would need a whiteboard. But that was his impression of why the whiteboards were there. I don't know if every station manager had access to them or knew what they were for, but this one associated with the new President Trump's arrival in Washington and the crowds that would be coming for the inauguration. So this is a long time thing, whiteboards. I don't know if they're much use, but and I don't know whether people who are deaf know about them or actually go up to kiosk, but perhaps we ought to remind the kiosk managers that they're there and what their purpose is. And perhaps some way we can inform the public about the availability. We have different pamphlets in the baskets at each kiosk station, and some of them have material related to people with disabilities. I don't know if it says on there that people with disabilities can use the whiteboard at any station. Anyway, are there any other questions related to this matter? If not,
do we see any other hands up?
No. Anu, do you want to make your announcements about how people can make questions through you?
Okay. Well, Cherianne, thank you for joining us and giving us an update about the whiteboards.
You're welcome.
That too.
You're and very welcome.
Quick turnaround.
I do take the point. Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that I do take the point about reiterating to the station managers what the whiteboards are for. So we will work on that as well this week.
Thank you very much, Cherianne.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right.
Hello?
Before we begin our public comments section, I just want to state that any members of the public, if you would like to submit your comments before or after the meetings, you can do so by either sending us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com, and that's spelled metroaacchair@wmata.com, or you can call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That was my announcement about how members of the public can contact us to give them public comments during the meetings. If people are able to raise their hands, that would be great. We do have one member of the public, Heidi, who wants to give her public comments. And then we have Steve and then Philippa. So Heidi, before you start speaking, just want to share that we do have 2 minutes time. So when you start speaking, the 2 minutes will begin.
Hello, Heidi.
Hello, everybody. I'm Heidi. I wanted to comment about it's some new progress that I'm happy about to give quick history. About a year or so ago, Randy Clark said that people with strollers could take strollers in the open position on the bus. That was new and it had never been allowed. I support that completely as a mom. However, with most metro buses, the only space for an open stroller is in a wheelchair seat space. So what was happening is people with wheelchairs were being sometimes denied the ability to get on a bus because someone with a stroller. Now, what I pushed on Twitter to Randy Clark, to Christian Blake, is that the circulator buses are much more flexible. And there are not only spaces for two wheelchairs, but for some of them, as many as six. Flexible seating where the seats folded up, but they could stay down if needed for passengers. And given how many walkers, strollers, shopping carts are on buses, I felt like the circulators adjusting their buses to fit the needs of riders was better. As you know, the circulator's gonna end. The good news, and I'm sure it had to be advocacy by the AAC also, Randy Clark is now removing some seats on some routes to create stroller spaces. So that's the good news. Last thing to quickly say, when the circulator shuts down, let's push for WMATA to buy those buses so they have more buses with accessible seating. Thank you.
Well, if I could add a comment there, you're right. The proposal has been put before the city council to shut down the circulator. Ironically, Mayor Bowser several years ago wanted to make circulators free, which would have been great. For one thing, they're not just for tourists and visitors. Many low-income people use them to get to their work and to get home. So I hope it's made possible for the circulator to continue. But if they aren't able to, then I think you have a great idea there, Heidi, that perhaps since there's a shortage of buses, the way Sarah mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, then maybe we can pick up those buses, which are already prepared for strollers, open strollers, as well as for wheelchair users. I see Steve and Philippa. Steve? You're muted, Steve.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. With the digital fare readers being placed at the middle doors, it's just a matter of time, I would think, probably this summer, when middle door boarding is offered. And I have the primary concern is that in the evening, I and I think others would feel uncomfortable in having that rear door open when there are just a couple of people on the bus and most people are facing front and don't see who's coming into that in through that middle door. You know, we deal with a lot of incidents, as we know in the news. And it's just too simple with the door being open and no gatekeeper, even though the driver, the operator is not a gatekeeper, he or she is to some extent. And so I would ask that when WMATA does go to middle boarding, that off hours, particularly, let's say, after 7 o'clock or after 8 o'clock at night, be only front boarding until maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning for safety reasons. And also the traffic isn't there to need middle boarding anyway, but principally for safety reasons. And the other thing I want to say, and this is very quick for my short time. I'm going on vacation for a couple of weeks and I have a weekly bus pass. And so I went online to see how to stop the pass and then start it up again. And, you know, if you have the Washington Post, it's very easy. You just put in start and stop the start dates. Right. Same thing with cell phone. I couldn't find anything on the website or any discussion of that. And I searched quite a bit as to how one stops and starts service. You know, it's not just going on vacation, it's people perhaps going other places, perhaps even needing to go into the hospital or recuperation for a period and don't want to continue to be charged. So, you know, there needs to be a better presentation on that and also made easier so that people can start and stop. Thank you.
Steve, this is a matter of wider than our concerns, although I agree with you that we should do what we can. But maybe you can bring it up with the RAC, too. This is within their purview. And I agree with you, and I hope the RAC would agree with you and that more voices could be heard about your recommendation.
Sure.
Philippa, you You're on, Philippa.
Hi, again. My comment is about that several months ago, a few of us, Sandy, Barbara, and myself, went around looking at the lights on the escalators on, you know, going to the thing, going to the platform. And I continue to say the lights on the U Street escalators from the mezzanine to the platform are so horrendously bright, they are blinding. You can't even, it's hard to even see where to step onto it. So I'm going to continue to raise this issue. We did check out a couple of other places, and I can't remember what they all were, but I think we kind of agreed that the ones at U Street were the worst. They were up higher, they were bigger, and they were brighter. So I brought this up before, and I continue to bring it up.
I didn't know. Who was with you?
I think it was Sandy, I believe, and was it Barbara, Sandy? I can't remember.
It was Melissa, I mean, excuse me, Philippa, me, Barbara, and Janice Samuel, who often contribute very right. worthwhile comments.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, we benefited during today's discussion from the written message that Sandy provided regarding the signs. I wish we had known about your experience. Maybe the next time it happens, or maybe even now, you could put together some written document about this. This is really an important thing. Sometimes we get a better response if we address that to someone. I'm glad you brought it up now, but if one of you could bring it up in writing, I'd be happy to forward it on to
okay, I will do that. And I just wanted to state that it's not just me with a low vision issue. I was getting on there with a friend with 20/20, and she was, oh my God, these lights are so bright, I can't even see the escalator stairs.
Oh yeah. So Philippa, if you could write up something about it and mention that you were even with someone with 20/20 vision, and that's how bad the situation is, I'd appreciate it, and we can forward it to someone who can do something about it.
Okay, I'll try to get a picture, but I don't know if it would be able to capture, but I'll try, I'll get one and see if it captures the issue.
Yeah, that's great, Philippa. Thank you, and to thank you, Sandy. And I guess Barbara, was it Barbara Milva that was with you?
Sure. Hello, yes. I just want to state that any concerns that the AAC has, please do forward those comments to me so that we can make sure that the appropriate office and staff receives that for those
right. Okay. All right. We had brought it up before in meetings sure. last year for a couple of years now, I think. But anyway, right. Okay. So, thank you. I will. I'll follow up.
I was not aware that that issue has not been resolved, Philippa, but thank you for bringing it up. But again, any concerns, please do send those to me, because we do want to make sure that the appropriate offices receive those concerns. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
The members of the committee get a copy. But this is great, Philippa and Sandy and whoever else was with you, for taking the time and effort to check out a station regarding these matters. It is 5:54. I don't think we have any other speakers, nor any guests who want to raise a public comment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Actually, I had my hand up, but it went down somehow. I had a comment to follow on to what Philippa said. May I make it quickly?
Go ahead, yes. Sandy.
This is Sandy. So the flip side of lights being too bright, I was at Chinatown station recently, I believe that's where I was, and where a sign giving me directions within, you know, on a platform, the sign was under the upper level. It did not have sufficient lighting on it. I tried to take a picture. My camera compensated for the lack of light, so I couldn't demonstrate how dim it was. And I know they're going through stations trying to improve lighting, but it's still a problem. And the overhead signs on the lower platform in Metro Center, just as you're approaching the escalators. They're static signs just below the ceiling or above the escalator. They don't have sufficient light on them either. So it goes both ways, too much light, too little light.
And if that can be captured in the email, what you just said could be added to it as well.
I'll try.
Okay, great.
Hi, Barbara. Yeah. I would like to make a comment on that, please.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Tino. We are aware of the issue of the lighting at Gallery Place and other stations, Bethesda being one, and we know the low vision population and a lot of other people go there frequently. The issue is that the brake dust comes from the rail cars and it settles on the floor pretty much everywhere in the station, including the light bulbs. So a special effort has to be made to clean that off every so often. And we track time is needed for that. And as you may know, track time is very popular. The Metro Rail station is only open a certain number, closed a certain number of hours. So we are aware of it. Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Barbara, thank you for bringing to our attention the dust from the tracks. Some of that is metallic. Some of it may be from the brake linings. And not only does it dim some of the lighting, it goes into our lungs. And that's all right. Health issue. So if something could be, I don't know how they're going to tackle this problem. It's so widespread. The particles from brakes and brake linings and that sort of thing, it's terrible to have that settle in your lungs. I don't know if we can address that, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, it's a nationwide issue in transit agencies. And a lot of transit agencies don't have the issue of the brake dust coming onto the light bulbs because they have the lights that are coming down, facing down, not up.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Barbara, just to clarify, I was talking about a place where signage, the light was supposed to be shining down on the sign. I wasn't talking about on the walls beside the rails.
It's exactly, but it's all together.
Okay.
Anu, I hope you this in the minutes. It's terrific that you all have volunteered to do this, that you did it, and now that you'll write it up, that it can be shared. I really am impressed that you did that, and I'm grateful that you did. Thank you very much. And if there are no other questions, it's 5:58, and I will take a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Hearing no objections to adjourn, it is 5:58, and this meeting is adjourned. And thank you, Anu, for expediting the meeting, and to all our guests, and to you members, and to Heidi, who is the sole non-member, although a former member, who came today. Thank you very much.
Thank
See you.
Excellent meeting. Thank you, Tina.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Where are you going?
Thank you, Steve? Anu.
Where are you going, Steve?
Oh, I'm going to Liverpool, England.